Okay, we are still early, so we got 10 more minutes to go. If you got any question or anything that you want to understand, you can ask. Today, 4th August 2016, Thursday, Suyan's house. So we will have our usual meditation followed by reporting of meditation, Q&A. Okay, you got anything you can ask while we make use of the 10 minutes. The two are new. You are, what's your name?
Alicia.
Alicia. What's your name? Wei Peng. They are from where? Oh, Sally's daughter. Oh, you are Sally's daughter. Oh. Oh yeah, I remember. I saw you at the wake. Yeah. Oh, okay. Now I remember. So before you come, you're completely new to the Dhamma. Oh yeah, your auntie told you Anna and Chong. Oh, okay. 2 days, yeah. They are very close. Your auntie and your mom, they are very close. So, I think they met me about 10 years ago. They came for the class when I was in Champaka. I was teaching meditation there, Champaka Buddhist temple near Taman Mayang, I think, Taman Mega there, yeah. It has been almost 10 years, yeah. I remember 2006 or 2007, I forgot. You have the books, No, there are some books. These are all for free distribution. Yeah, you give them 2 books only, right? Yeah, the seminar... Bangkok seminar paper, the thin one, then the blue book is it? Is it the blue book? You got one more? Meditation. You better read through. There's a lot of good books there. Then later on when you can understand, you can get some of these books. I think the brown book is also quite good. The brown one, the first... middle shelf on your right. Middle shelf on your right. The first book. You take. This is good. This one was a talk delivered at the house Dana of Brother Sia and Sister Nancy. It's a very good book. It talks about virtue, goodness, kindness. Understanding the Essential Dhamma, is it? Is the title Understanding the Essential Dhamma of the Buddha? What is the title of the book? Yeah, Essential Dhamma. Very good, yeah. It's very simple, but very, very deep in meaning. Later on, as you understand, you cultivate, you will have a lot of understanding. Never mind. Initially, you cannot understand much, but after a while, because all this teaching, they relates to your life, and you will understand. Because these are all the realities of life and existence that every living being need to go through and confront. Then the Four Noble Truths, if you want to understand, you have to read up a bit. Or they don't have the book here. Later on, I will bring the other book, Ancient Path. You know Mandarin? The orange book. Read that one. You all Mandarin educated? Chinese school? Then get hold of that book, 4th Order Kutao. Suyan up there. Oh, has a read through that one. That one is a Mandarin translation. They talk about the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. So it's in Mandarin is called Si Sen Di. Sen is Senren. Senren are enlightened being. Four Noble Truths are truth that can allow the living being to become noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why it's called Four Noble Truths, not ordinary truth. If you got any question, you all can ask. Things that you don't quite understand, you can ask. It will help you. Then slowly, slowly you learn. As you learn, you understand. Then you will know how to decide how to live your life. It can make a very big difference to your life. And it can bring forth a lot of benefits leading to happiness, peacefulness of mind, joy, and many other benefits that living beings are looking forward to have. Even tonight, there is a question posed by Sui An for another Kailamita. A lot of people in this world have a lot of suffering and problem. Problem of insomnia, cannot sleep. So they want to know what is the cause of insomnia from the Buddhist perspective and how it can be understood so that all this will not affect the living beings. It's a very important topic, but very few people understand. In fact, like that girl whom Sui An asked on behalf, called me today. Then I told her, you are holding on to something. Nobody will become like that unless you have fear, you have anxiety, you have a lot of what they call negativity or negativity of mind state when you perceive something with a lot of fear without her knowing it. She has some problem. Then I told her, you already attended that class so long. Now you are going back to before you attend the class. You are getting into big trouble if you don't wake up fast and ask yourself a serious question. You are not applying the Dhamma. He is now depending on people, harassing Brother Suyat. Keep on calling him and also he said, you cannot do things like that. You have to investigate and find out what actually happened. You cannot continuously in denial. The phone call that she come, first thing she tell me is her problem, then ask me what to do. Shall I follow this advice or that advice? Then he said, doctor advised him like that. Then after that, he checked with Brother Suya. Then Brother Suya didn't advise her like that. Then asked me, you know, which one should I go? I say, if you continue like that, you will never learn. You will be in more and more trouble where you don't understand. You are worse than before you come. Actually, before she came, she already got a lot fear at that time. Then she recovered. She was happy. Then now another small problem. To me, it's a very small problem. But it's not life and death. It's just a usual problem. People harassing her. So this type of thing can cause her insomnia and all those problems. And she still don't understand the cause of suffering, which is attachment, clinging, grasping, not understanding. Okay, maybe when we start, we will do the actual sharing. What's the time now? Oh, exactly at 10. Okay, we get ready for puja. So, who are the two lucky ones? Help, Brother Suyan will decide easy. Or maybe the two of you, Sally's daughter and son-in-law, come, help to light the incense and candle. The rest can stand, then we will start our puja. Okay, we start with the tray. Sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you. You can be seated, and we shall start our puja chanting. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadhya, then the virya, spiritual zeal, then mindfully, attentively, we shall commence the puja. Arahang sammasambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. And we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi paṇatipātā ramanīsikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi ādīnādānā vairamanīsikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi āmesu micācārā vairamanīsikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi mūsāvādā vairamanīsikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi sūrāmeraya macchāpamādathāna vairamanīsikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Okay, now turn to page 3. We will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapa dithena dithena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang sanda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hena pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana muttama vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhaṃ kasumena nena nena matena ca hotu mokhaṃ pupaṃ malayati yata idaṃ me kāyo tata yati vinasa bhavaṃ adivāsetu no bhante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma, that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May all morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide. Just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened till they become balas or powers. Then sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings, exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple gem. Buddhang pucemi. Dhammang pucemi. Sanghang pucemi. Okay, you can be seated. Relax yourself, body and mind. Then viewer of the light to commence the meditation. Those who want to make offering can bring here. Put the offering on the table. Then we rejoice. Come. No, never mind, it's okay. Just go. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Just make offering to the triple gem. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Okay, thank you. So we can off the light, then we can have our meditation. Tonight maybe we have more time, since everybody has been here before. You already know how to meditate. We will have about 36 minutes. Good. 36 minutes. Oh, one more offering, okay. Slightly more than half an hour of meditation, which is just nice. Okay. We are off the light. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you straight away proceed. For those who still need to train the mind, you go ahead. Then for those who already train, you straight away go and stabilize this mindfulness that you have trained and developed. Okay, now I will allow you to meditate on your own. And after about 35 minutes, I will ring the bell. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. This is the mind state that you have trained, developed. But you need to use this trained mind state that is already peaceful, quiet, aware within to develop the daily mindfulness. That is the real meditation. We need to have this type of mind to be constantly aware throughout the day as we move about doing our daily chores and activity. Meditation in daily life or daily mindfulness is the real meditation. That is the ultimate meditation. So whatever you do in the name of meditation initially is to train this mind so that it's no longer heedless, so that your spiritual faculties are there, then it will help you to overcome all the mental hindrance. Then this mind becomes mindful, peaceful, aware on its own. The mind is in sati. The mind that is in sati is heedful, constantly aware. And this is the one that can understand a lot of things, develop the wisdom. This is the meditative mind, the silent mind, the true mind. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Let's chant together, yeah. Samanta Chakravalisu Achagacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Vedanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Vedanta
Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Dhamma Sarathi Sattha Deva Manosana
Sarito Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Nohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yaditang chattari Risayukani Atha purisa pugala Esa bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakhineyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttarang penyakitang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajam. Bedang Pajami. Tamang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay. You can be seated. Just relax yourself and maintain some form of attentiveness. Mindfulness, then we'll commence our second session. Second session is reporting of meditation, followed by whatever question you have. You can ask whatever question that is related to the meditation or to the teaching. And of course, finally is how to apply what we have learned. So that you can understand the Buddha Dhamma and put it into practice or cultivation to help you understand life and overcome all of your so-called mundane problem or life problem or situation. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody who wants to report meditation or ask any question, you just put up your hand. We will pass you the mic. Pang, smiling. Sure got question. Yeah. Or you report your meditation. It's okay.
Okay. Good evening.
Yeah.
Brother Teo.
Yes.
All Kalyanamitas.
Yeah.
Not so much of questions, but
sharing. Very good.
Just report a little bit.
Very good. And do some sharing. Sadhu.
If you notice, I've been missing for some time. I try to maintain a daily routine.
Religious routine, very good. Sadhu.
Which I did mostly in the morning.
Mm.
Because
very good.
By the time I reach home, probably at night, you know, and things like that, I did not, it has not been able to like go into that mode. So it was very good in the morning. with a short meditation as
well. Yeah.
For every sitting. What I found is that, you know, as we do more of this, we begin to understand better the teachings of the Buddha. I also try to recite the suttas as well.
Very good.
The Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Yeah. The one that I found in the retreat version booklet, which also has these three suttas, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, Anattalakkhana Sutta, and also the Fire Samadhi.
Yeah, very good.
As you reflect on all this, because I try to chant the English one.
Yeah, you should chant the English one.
So that you can understand it better.
Yeah.
So as you chant the English version, for me, I find that, you know, the three turnings and the 12 modes come on very clearly to me.
Sadhu, sadhu. Yeah.
So when you go into the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, it's like you can see how the Buddha actually dwell into why, you know, why non-self.
Yeah, sadhu. You know?
And you go into Fire Sermon again, he said,
sadhu.
No clinging to one to self.
Yeah.
So it was all like very clearly mentioned in the sutta.
Yeah, yeah.
After you really look at it in the English version, and with, you know, I think with Brother Teo's explanation, and also through all the explanations that was done earlier, I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I find that, you know, it is beneficial for me, and every time I sit, we have to understand why we sit in meditation.
Very important, yeah.
Yeah. If you sit in meditation and want to get answers,
yeah,
I think you are in the wrong
place. Yeah, you are wasting your time.
When you sit, basically you're trying to train your mind.
Yeah.
To calm down your mind.
Yes.
To
develop the stability
of that mindfulness.
Inner peace.
Firstly,
inner
is inner peace. With inner peace, then you can maintain your mindfulness.
Yes.
And then with mindfulness, then you are able then to contemplate deeply, more deeply.
Correct.
Into the Dhamma.
Mm.
So that is what I've been trying
to
do.
Yeah, very, very important.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's all I want to
share. Sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So far, I heard of one very good Kayamita who really sincerely developed her his own cultivation based on what he had understood. Well, I always said, actually, the advice came from my teacher, Ajayantra. He said, we must have a very, very good religious routine in order to develop the meditation. Otherwise, you cannot. Like I used to tell you, if let's say you are very committed, very serious, but you only allow time maybe once a week or twice a week, or even those who are very hardworking and diligent, they attend all my three classes, including the Friday talk. So when you go for all these classes, maybe you are more calm, more peaceful, more mindful, reminded of the Dhamma. Then you actually develop a lot of merits, parami, then blessings, and understanding. But if you don't put all this into practice, you still don't benefit that much. You of course benefit in many ways through that Dhamma session and sharing. You benefited in training your mind, developing the meritorious the merits born of the 10 meritorious action, like you cultivate dana, sila, bhavana, reverence, then you listen to Dhamma, straighten your views, then you rejoice, then you transfer merit, share merit, you provide service, then you keep your precepts. All these are meritorious action. But apart from all this, if after you are no more in this Dhamma session, you go back to your daily life, what do you do? Can you maintain some form of heedfulness or mindfulness training or Dhamma cultivation? Because the true understanding of meditation is to strive on with heedfulness, like the Buddha said, apamadena sampadeta. So if you cannot understand this word, you cannot understand what the Buddha is trying to emphasize to you. Apamadena sampadeta is strive on with heedfulness. Apamadena is heedfulness. So when you strive on with heedfulness, means you have to train your mind to be heedful. And to be heedful is to be ever mindful. Not just mindful when you are meditating or in a retreat or in a Dhamma session. Means in the midst of life. Ever mindful to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Especially the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. Have you developed the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path factor? Starting with, of course, right view. Right view is a very big part of Pariyatti, or the phase one of Dhamma. To develop the understanding of the teaching. So Pariyatti is very important. Spend more time to stabilize the understanding. Then when you understand, you put it into practice, it becomes very easy. Then when you awaken through that cultivation or practice, it will bring forth a condition for you to experience the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda. And that is the best part of your life, because you get to enjoy the fruition of your hard work. You get to live the noble life of enlightened being. And these are all in the teaching. But then most people don't understand this, so they thought when they need to develop wisdom, when they need to cultivate or develop the meditation, they go for class, they go for retreat. So they think after that, they go back, their daily life, they're back to square one. Most of the time they are heedless again, completely heedless. So those who come for only one class Thursday, you just imagine 1 week, 2-3 hours, or 2.5 hours, you may be trained a bit. Then after that, you are completely heedless. But if you combine your religious routine, the daily religious routine, which my teacher Jayantra stressed a lot, then you make your life complete. Because throughout the day, you will have this cultivation with you. You will have this contemplation, reflection. That's why I use the word Dhamma practice or Dhamma cultivation is a full-time job. Maybe last time I didn't write down. I better write this now. Dhamma cultivation is a full-time job. But this word full-time, don't be confused. Your one Kayamita got it wrong. He thought full-time is don't work. No. Full-time is you spend your time even while you're working, while living, in the midst of life, going through your daily chaos, doing your responsibility to cope with life, to work, even when you rest, answer nature's call. You are fully heedful, aware, mindful. That is what full-time is. So Dhamma cultivation is a full-time job. You call it a job because you have to commit it. Yeah? So a daily routine, a good daily routine is very important. Daily religious routine is very important. Because if I don't write it down, I realize it doesn't go in, because you first time listening to it, it doesn't strike you. It doesn't impact upon you. So most of the time, I feel that I need to repeat. Then I need to write it down. Then emphasize on it. Now I can slow down the teaching, because what you need is all being shared. It's in the recording. It's in the transcript note. In our Heart Sutta note. So you only need to go through them, like what Pang has realized. Then you have to evolve a very good daily religious routine. Means this is your routine of life. This routine is to complete the practice. Apart from just your spiritual activity, you develop the mindfulness, the heedfulness, the training. But this religious routine is very important, so that you complete the practice. So that you are following the advice of the Buddha, means you are striving on with heedfulness. Striving on with heedfulness. Sorry. And to do this, you must understand the importance of this training. Otherwise, you will not do it properly. And to understand the importance, you must be serious. You must be dead serious. Means you must have the faith. Sada, virya, and sati. For you to be serious, you must develop the faith, sada, the virya, the spiritual zeal to go this way. And you must be seriously cultivating sati, leading to heedfulness, apamana. So this one leading to heedfulness throughout the day. Throughout the day. Throughout the day. So what do you mean by a good daily religious routine? Like Pang said, every day when he wake up, he will develop his what they call short meditation, puja. Then you chant. Then you try to develop mindfulness of whatever activity you do. Even when you sleep, every action, every movement, every activity, you are aware of your posture. You are aware of whatever movement and activity. Then from physical movement, kaya nupasana, you go into your body. Then you feel many things inside there, all the vibration, all the mental activity, movement, the content of consciousness. Then as you reflect, as you contemplate through this mindfulness training, through this chanting, through this second turning, reflection, contemplation, and inquiry, because the explanation are all there. Then when you have developed the contemplative wisdom, the stability of it will be there when you every day read through, chant, reflect, contemplate, so that every word become very meaningful very deep in his what they call understanding. That's why during the early day, throughout the day, I will reflect and contemplate. Then even as I walk to office, as I walk back from office, as I go about in my daily activity, of course when I work, I just maintain mindfulness and do my work, because this is my job, my duty. And I work in a very stressful environment too, as a civil engineer. Actually, that place, they call it a madhouse. They say you put 10 engineers, also not enough one. But I was able to cope with everything just alone, with some, of course, a lot of staff under me. But I have to learn to delegate. I have to learn to standardize the system. I have to learn to improve the system on my own, through my own understanding. Then I had to come out with my own organization chart, spell out their duties and responsibility, then train them, impart the understanding to them. Then later on, as this thing become like established, then they realize that madhouse was not really a madhouse. When you understand, it can be managed and dealt with or run very easily through an understanding. So meditation is the same. Our mind before we train is like a crazy mind, very heedless, like a monkey running around like a madhouse. They say that mind difficult to control. It's like it does what it like, and it gets itself into trouble all the time, entangle itself through heedlessness, through lack of understanding. So when you have such a situation, it's like you are in a madhouse. So how to bring for order to that madhouse? That's why you need to train that heedless mind, the mundane mind. Then you develop more clarity, more spiritual faculty to help you overcome all this heedlessness. The heedlessness is due to your mental hindrance. Mental hindrance, like we have gone through the five mental hindrance, they are your sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, then your doubt. Restlessness of mind is due to your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your problem. When you don't have problem, you don't have restlessness of mind. So all this, they will arise when you are heedless, when you don't understand. That's how you project your thought and allow the fear to come in. Then you constantly react to sense experience, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. And these are mental hindrance. If throughout the day you do this until it becomes habitual, the habitual tendency will make you heedless throughout the day. If throughout the day, almost every moment, every instant, when you experience life, every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought, you react to life, you stir your mind, arise the sensual desire and ill will, the craving, the fear, the worry, the anxiety. So this mental hindrance keep on arising. And when it arises, it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. So what happens is, if you lack this type of religious routine to train this mind will fall. It will become heedless on its own, because you don't train it. You don't understand what is going on. You allow this heedlessness to continue. You allow this habitual tendency of arising this mental hindrance throughout the day. So what happened to you is, this will make you heedless, because the mental hindrance will hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. That's why you don't have even a short moment of peace. You're hardly aware, because your spiritual faculty are not there. You don't have the faith. That's why you have fear, you have doubt, you have worry, you have anxiety. Then you are so tired, Brother Pang also knew. Morning was very good when he was in this religious routine, but then as he go to office, it's difficult to maintain, but it can be done. it can be done. Slowly, slowly, it can be done. And he has done well. Even though he said towards the end of the day, by the time he come back, he's quite tired. So, to introduce Dhamma practice into our daily life is the key to meditation. You cannot be heedful or mindful in the midst of life. You are far from developing the meditation that the Buddha talked about. You are still not able to really cultivate the real meditation. You have yet to really, really meditate in the actual sense of the word. If you are not able to have mindfulness in the midst of life, you are not able to be heedful most of the time in the midst of life, you have yet to do the real meditation. That is what it amounts to for those who understand. That's why no amount of formal sitting and meditation can help you. No point. You can go and strive on with heedfulness in retreat continuously, non-stop. What will happen to you? You will become more calm, more peaceful, because the environment, the setting is so good. And nowadays they make it such that people serve you. People make offering to you. You don't have to do anything. Like Brother Song used to say, he go to all those retreats. Everything is taken care of. You only need to meditate. But then, is that what the Buddha really teach? That's why the Buddha say, he introduced the rains retreat, Vasa. You know why or not? Because in India, during those 3 months, it rains a lot. That's why they call it the rains retreat. It's not convenient to travel during that time. So that's why he wants them to have this rain retreat, so that the monks, they can have more time to cultivate, because they don't have to travel, they don't have to walk to propagate the Dhamma. Because there is a synergy. If you need support, you will have to be worthy of the support. That is what the Sangha is all about. The Buddha introduced all these practices because they want to have this synergy between the lay people and the Sangha. The Sangha is supposed to cultivate so that they are worthy of offering support and the 4 requisite and all those things. Shelter, medication, food and clothing are the requisite of monks. Then in return, the monk shall give them blessing, Dhamma, the spiritual wealth. That's how the synergy comes about. Then the monk is the one that is involved in the teaching, the custodian of the Dhamma. And they are worthy of offering and all those things. They have the Dhamma. That's why you must have that quality to be a true Samana, or a true monk, a true Sangha member. And this is what is meant to be. So during the 3 months of rains retreat, you do your part, because the lay community will help out and serve. But they still go for Pindapat in the morning to train themselves in mindfulness, heedfulness, and to benefit the lay people. Because when you are worthy of offering, you go for alms round, you develop mindfulness, you provide a fertile ground for lay people to make offering to you. And this is a great field of merit, because you are worthy of offering. Then you allow lay people to rejoice in the wholesomeness, to cultivate good condition for them to come to know you, to visit the monks at the way place, to attend their Dhamma session, to attend their chanting, to attend all the various Dhamma activity that the temple have. Then they can also have other type of activity like Dhamma talk, Dhamma sharing, retreats, and even workshop and seminar. So this is the synergy. But then after the 3 months, what happened? Yeah? What happened? The monk cannot stay there anymore. You have to walk each in one direction. At one time, the Buddha even instruct, no two shall walk in the same direction, because they really want the monk to go all out to visit people and to train themselves in daily mindfulness without support, without assurance of support and certainty of people, what they call providing you with the four requisites. You have to actually go all out to develop your own parami so that you are able to still receive all this because you have the parami. That's why they must cultivate generosity, virtue, goodness as a lay person, so that when they become the monks or the sangha, they will receive back all this support. So this is what law of karma is all about. You reap what you sow. Do good because good. So 9 other months, they also cultivate heedfulness, but mainly the 4 foundation of mindfulness. Then they spend time in whatever location that they are in, because they don't have proper dwelling, proper place to go to. They can take rest at temple and all those things, but it's not supposed to be their permanent residence. But nowadays, modern society is different. Most of the monks, they try to get a residential place so that they can devote more time to practice. But like Rerapang came to know, if you don't understand why you sit, why you do formal meditation, then you won't benefit. Yeah, all this, like I mentioned just now, you go for retreat, you go for all this, you will become very peaceful, very calm. But if you don't understand what you are doing, all these are conditioned state. The peace, the mindfulness, or the awareness, or the special experience, meditative experience that you come to realize or have the chance to experience, they are not real wisdom. They are conditioned state that make your mind very calm, very peaceful, as if you have progressed, you have developed extraordinary progress. Then you think you are different, you think you are enlightened, you think your mind is like that. But these are conditioned state, these are not reality, because your wisdom is still not penetrative. You have not rooted out the defilements. So when you come out back into daily life, you realize your defilements are still there. The latent tendency, the anusaya, they are still there. Because in a retreat condition, the setting and the condition is such that you are in a very peaceful environment. Everybody keep the precepts. Everybody is very wholesome. They are not the one that have problems. Yeah. So when you are not aware of all this, and you didn't understand what the Buddha meant by wisdom, then your cultivation will shift in the wrong direction. It become a mission in search of inner peace, inner calmness. Yeah. Then they forgot about mindfulness. They just want to have good experience of a calm mind, a meditative mind. Then they want to see light, see vision, have psychic ability. Then they move into jhanas and all those things. That's how they debate. When you don't understand the true practice, the true practice is about mindfulness, to be heedful, to insight into phenomena, the universal characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self or empty nature, to be ever mindful of whatever activity that is going on, may it be physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. Then through all this cultivation, if you are heedful throughout the day with the religious routine, you will become very different. But if you just go and make the meditation thinking that when you are in a retreat, you can experience all this, then you think you are enlightened. But the real meditation is Noble Eightfold Path. In the midst of life, do you have right views with regards to the spiritual laws that governs life and existence? The law of karma, the law of mind, citta, niyama, and law of dhamma, the essential dhamma. Do you really understand? Then do you have the embodiment of wholesomeness? Are you ever mindful of your mental intention behind everything you do? Have you rooted out your three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion? Are you able to conduct yourself as a noble one, with you have right thought, incapable of negativity? All of your speech are very noble speeches. They are gentle, pleasant, good, and wise speeches that brings about understanding, harmony, love, compassion. Then all of your actions are without selfishness, without the egoic self, without delusion. So all this quality of an enlightened being, which are noble qualities, if you still don't have them, if you are not able to arise the four right effort to constantly purify your thought, transform yourself, make yourself more and more virtuous and noble, you are not cultivating the right meditation. If you are not able to develop the mindfulness to see your own defilement, to realize your own mistake, to straighten your view, so that you understand what is right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and what is right effort, then you will know how to constantly develop the mindfulness. That's why sati come in. Then sati stabilize and become samadhi, so that in the midst of life, you are constantly mindful, aware, and that stability of it will make you different. Then it will make you unshakable. Your mind always collected and unshakable, unwavering. And that is samadhi. And when you have sati and samadhi, you are constantly heedful, mindful. That's why you can understand anything. You can see things as they are. You can see how without the mental conditioning, without your views and your opinion causing you to stir and react, you are always at peace. Thing is just the way it is. You don't have to do anything. You just have to understand the causes and conditions behind. Then you understand why things are like that. Then you accord and flow. Then you will understand why the Buddha said you have to strike on with heedfulness. Without heedfulness, you cannot see all this. You cannot understand all this. Then you constantly, through your own heedlessness and delusion, wants to get yourself entangled. Where you want things your way. You try to control things, suppress things, and do a lot of conflicting things. That's how you get yourself entangled, unnecessary. You stir your mind, your mental states, through the egoic mind, self-delusion, will make you selfish without you knowing it, where you believe you exist. And that egoic mind of self-delusion is so strong. That's why, because you believe this is you, this is real. Every thought process that you arise, every consciousness that you arise, the egoic mind is there. So when the ego arises, the personality arises, there is an entity. And this entity will be selfish. That's why the evil root of greed, selfishness, will arise. That it will want things, it will want to possess things, own things. This is how craving, grasping, clinging comes about. This is the evil roots of greed. Then because thing is real, when things don't go his way, he becomes angry, violent, emotional. Then jealousy, hatred, unhappiness, leading to sorrow and lamentation. All this will arise because of the ego. Where you think you lost something, you miss out on something, and when you cannot get what you want, you become stressful, you become unhappy, you develop the sadness, leading to the sorrow and the lamentation. Then you grieve over your loved ones, you grieve over the realities of life and existence when you confront them without understanding. You worry so much, worry about your health, worry about your life, worry about getting sick, getting old, and fearing death and all those things. Then when there is separation, you cannot cope. So the reality of life and existence will hit you when you don't have wisdom. So meditation is not about calm state of mind, good meditation, good experience. These are byproduct of the environment. That's why I call it a conditioned state of mind that cannot free you. It will make you peaceful, of course. It will make you think you have progressed. But this is a delusion. The real awakening is wisdom, nothing else. You cannot insight into phenomena through your silent mind, through your true mind without thought. You cannot awaken. Then you cannot penetrate the true Dhamma. Where the true Dhamma is akaliko. What is akaliko? Timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. So if you still use thought and time, which is psychological time, thought-based meditation, to try to realize something that is beyond thought, beyond mind, impossible. That's why it's the direct seeing, not through thinking. No. If you continue to dwell on thought, the Dhamma, then you are caught. Then you mistaken the finger for the moon. The Dhamma is word. The real Dhamma is not word. The real Dhamma is the manifestation of that truth. And it has to be realized, not a knowledge stored in the memory. Understand? So, cultivation takes a very different form when you understand all this. Then you will not be gullible and deluded by all this, wasting your time doing all this. Then you will come to realize daily mindfulness is very important. If I cannot be heedful in the midst of life, the Buddha used this word, no, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. Remember that. Means the moment you are not heedful, you are as if dead. Spiritually, no more chance. You cannot afford to be heedless. That's why the heedless are as if dead. You must remember that. And you better write that down. The reason why you need all this is because the heedless are as if dead. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. All this must actually go into your understanding. Then only you can become dead serious. Then you will never look back because you will never allow yourself to be heedless because you don't want to be spiritually dead. A spiritually dead means you don't have any chance to become enlightened. You don't have any chance to develop the spiritual teaching. So coming back to the daily religious routine, of course morning, you know, then to complete it at night before you sleep, spend some time doing the short meditation or reflect on them, unless you're very tired, but allow yourself to have this window. Unless you have already gone beyond practice, they say, asika, then you don't need this religious routine. You are already that thing throughout the day. Your understanding is already there. Your wisdom is already there. So you don't need to do all these things. But before that, you have to strive on your heedfulness. You have to have this good religious routine. Then what is important is in between. In between, after your morning meditation or so-called chanting and all things, especially those who have retired, you have more time to do all this. Then what you need to do is you have to plan your day because you have a duty as a lay person. Even you retire, you still, most of you have a family. have a house to take care, have duties to do. Then you have your friends, your loved ones. Then you have all your other life-related activity, like your, you call it your, something that you like to do, your hobby, or your, what you call, something that you like to do, apart from the word, something that you are passionate about. Yeah? I used to say when you retire, you do what you like to do. Yeah? So that one you need to devote time as well. Like for me, I like investment. That's why I will spend time doing investment. Yeah, I'm very good at it. And I know it can help many people. And it can help me to retire very successfully, very peacefully. Yeah, I know I can grow my money. Then I can do a lot of things with this money. If you know how to use them, that's why the user of money is very important. Then that passion will drive you. The other passion that I love is, of course, if there's condition, I will share the Dhamma. I will share this understanding, this teaching. So, since the year 2001, when I retired from my engineering career, 15 over years ago, coming to 16 years, I remember 1st of May, Labor Day, I retired, the year 2001. So, after that, I have been doing what I like to do. And life has been the most beautiful. That is the most beautiful section of my life. Of course, nothing to do with my career. I reached the pinnacle of my career before I retire completely. I started working after I graduated at the age of 24 was 1979. 79 worked until 89, 99, 2001, 22 years, and now, why work so long? Then I spent 24 years going through my childhood, my education, to experience life, to build up my understanding of life, to cultivate, to meditate. I started in 1971 when I was in Form 5. That's why in the uni I already meditating. It depends on your parami. Then this daily religious routine I came to realize is very important. When my teacher Ajayantra mentioned it, the moment he mentioned it, I knew that was what I need. That time I already have this understanding. Before I sleep, I must meditate. That's why I used to tell you last time, I used to meditate middle of the night. I don't want to disturb my roommate and later on my wife, my children. Sometimes I come back early. I have my bath, I rest. Then 2 a.m., I wake up. I will sit. Then I was silently resigned and other things. I was doing that for many, many years. Especially 1986 to 89, these 3 years, it was a full-time job. Throughout the day, I'm just heedful, mindful, even in the office, aware of my four posture, fully aware of my action and movement throughout the day. Of course, my morning routine, my evening routine, and in between, when I want to go out, I pay respect to Buddha. Then when I come back, first thing I pay respect to Buddha. I go to temple, I pay respect to Buddha. Then I got my routine. Friday talk, I will go and do the, listen to Dhamma talk and do the recording. Then last time they also have this Tuesday class too. Sunday, they also have their talk. Then, that time I was working with my children, my wife. But I was able to be mindful, to be heedful, for even in a meeting. I sat there, they thought I sleep. No, I was meditating. Then when the minute was related to my company's time to answer, I straight away opened my eye and I answered. They were shocked. Yeah, they thought I was sleeping. They say this time Tio Kena already. Because it was a very high-powered meeting. Oh, it's not a normal meeting. Oh. This one is the Hotel Istana International 5-star hotel. The architect is very fierce one. One of the international, very renowned firm. Then the consultant, they are all high-powered team. Then you know the client also. Penas, O-U-E, combined YTL. Yotongle. You know, Yotongle, very fierce one. He claimed until the client also panic. They go and hire international claim consultant to claim, to sit in and challenge your consultant. Then, of course, the architect also very worried. Then the client also very worried. So they are very dead serious, high power meeting. And yet I went through it. And all this meeting lasts a few hours. Then most of the item is not related to ours until it come to my item, which is towards the later part. Then you have to have understanding to answer in that type of meeting. My office send all the senior one by one. They not attend. They tell the boss, cannot. You want me to attend, I resign. They cannot take the pressure. Even when I went there, I was the fourth one. The architect, first day saw me. Yeah, I was early. Yeah, I scared if I go late, I will get into trouble. So I was there very early. Then when I reached there, I asked around. They said, there's the meeting room. Then I went in. I expect nobody there because I was 1 hour ahead of meeting time. But I saw two persons inside there. They were discussing something and having their fun and all those things. Then later I realized one of them is the architect. The other one is the client. So he asked me, initially was very polite. Who are you? How can I help you? I say, I'm coming for the meeting. I say, is this the place where you have your client consultant meeting? And your site meeting? He say, yes. Which company are you from? So he thought I'm from somebody new company or what. The moment I mentioned my company's name, Kemasapakala, you know what was the answer? Another new one. I was the fourth one. But he didn't know this one, very different one. Then after that, the architect very scared of me. He very friendly to me. Because in the meeting, he used to like have it his way all the time. But that meeting, when I was there, yeah, I already read the file. I already knew what is happening. So I answered him differently. He was very angry. He was very annoyed. He said, don't try to be funny, he said. You are new and you don't simply say things. Oh, very fierce. I say, I may be new, but I have read the file and I have checked with your office too. I say, your office has not given us the drawing. Wow, he was very angry. You tell the architect, we are engineer under architect. Then in front of the client, wow. I say, you don't believe, you call your office. He himself also didn't know. Then he called his office. I gave him the name of the draftsman that promised to give me the drawing. Yeah, he explained to me, he said, they are very busy, they got a lot of work. Then all this, they got no time to clear. So he said, give him a few more days. Then this draftsman answered him exactly what he told me. He said, blue glow. He said, dua tiga hari lagi. Oh, then after that, he kept quiet. He did not make noise really. He said, okay, I will give it to you within the next 2 or 3 days latest. This one, the office got some hiccup, he said. He said, next time, don't bring up this type of thing. We can sort it out separately during client consultant meeting. I said, I didn't bring out. I said, you are the one that bring out. Then after that, after the meeting, first thing he do, Tio, you don't go back, you wait for me. Then after that, he talked to me, he asked me, where are you from? He said, where you work before. Oh, then later he know about me and my CV. He very scared of me. Then he said, we need somebody like you. He said, we have to go through the drawing. He said, there are a lot of things I also not happy. I said, I know, I check already. You got a lot of problems. You know, his drawings, a lot of amendments or changes. He didn't update his drawing. And you know what his building plan or not? You got bomba approval or no? Your uniform building bylaw, you got all this what they call requirement of fire escape or no. So if you do your amendment, you fail bomba requirement, I tell you, you cannot get CF or no. So a lot of things, he know he's in deep shit now. We are the client one, he cannot say no. So he has to sort out a lot of things. Then I check the road outside circulation. We have architect draw on that one, building within the boundary, all by architect. I say your turning circle not enough. No. 5-star hotel, a bus cannot turn. No, no. He said, I know, I know. He said, slowly, don't bring it up. He said, I will sort it out. He said, and I said, you better sort it out. That a lot of things. So there are so many things because I was a client before. I know the M&E, mechanical, electrical, all I understand. Then there are return air. Some of these M&E design, return air, is not through the ceiling or the slit. Because some of this ceiling, they seal it off. You know? So there is no return air duct. No. So your door, you have to have opening for the aircon. Return air to go back, so the AHU can handle it. So he didn't check all these things. No. Because I got one project, the architect make that mistake. Then the M&E consultant told me, he said, Mr. Teo, we already told them in the early day that the door must have return duct on. There is no slit on, no return air slit and all thing. I said, you got proof or not? I asked the consultant, because I was a client. He showed it to me, the letter. Oh, in the meeting, the architect kena like that. At first, he still want to blame the M&E. You know? No, no, no. This is your problem, is it? What you want, you should have told me, is it? You cannot last minute after the door fabricator installed already, you come and tell me. Then I smile. I ask the architect. I say, yeah, you are right. We better get to the bottom of this. I say, can the M&E consultant answer? The M&E consultant dare not antagonize the architect. No. He look at the architect, then he look at me. No. Then I say, why you worry? I'm the client. I say, oh, then he answered. No. He said, we have given you the letter 2 years ago during the design stage. He said, the architect somehow fired him. Don't try to bullshit. Is it? Show me the letter. Oh, the consultant took it out. Yeah. I asked him to show me. He gave to me. That's why he brought that copy there. He bring it there. The architect read. He checked with his clear. Adaka. Macam mana kita tak tahu? Then I look at him and say, so, what have you got to say? He said, Mr. Teo, we will sort it out. We will come back to you. You know what he did? He go and force the contractor to do it free. And the contractor came and see me. He said, Mr. Teo, if I do a new door for you, it's cheaper. No? Now I got to take out the door, go back and chuck it, put in that opening, and do it back, varnish everything, and bring and install again. No? You know how much work or not? One by one, talk to go and chuck, and the hinge all gone. No? I say, why don't you tell the architect? Why you tell me? He said, cannot, Mr. Teo. I tell architect, he will give me hell. He said, all the other part of the job, I will have big problem. I said, like that, then no need to talk. How can you scared of him and want to compromise and you want me to help you? I can only help you if you bring all this out. Oh, then he said, can I? I said, the M&E consultant bring out, why are you scared? So he bring it out. Understand? After he bring it up, the architect was damn mad. No? Then after that, he go and threaten the contractor. No? Yeah. You all very smart. All go and contact the client first. They in the meeting, bamboo me. I say, you remember you tell the contractor, not only this job the client can protect you, is it? You got 2-3 other jobs under me, is it? You better watch out. More other contractors. Then I told the contractor, is it? You have to think of a way to resolve this with him, because no point fighting and arguing, then you get into deep problem also, not good. So you go and suggest to him, give and take a bit, and so on. So I don't know how they settle. Yeah. It seems the contractor say, I already explained it will cost me so much. Then come back in the meeting, I think they agree on something. This architect know, my side, he cannot simply pay him VO for other thing that he's not entitled to. He said, the other two side, I will do something for you. Is it? But here, you absorb it for me. Is it? So the contractor in the next meeting, he said, no, the client is not stupid. Is it? The client also very smart. He said, what I will tell is, I will absorb all those, like, dismantling and all those things. Is it? He said, then to refabricate and fix it back and install, I will charge you a nominal price. Yeah. I think he charged very low. Yeah. I think about 50 ringgit per door or what. But you know how many door? No? A few hundred door, no difficulty. So the architect say, okay, like that is fair. Maybe we can consider that. Then I stop him. No? I say, you better make sure this one, the client don't pay one. No? It's not the client's mistake. No? It's not a new requirement from the client. Oh. It's your mistake. Oh, he sweat. He said, okay. We will deal with it. He said. Then he later on say deduct from the fee. So, I think it was deducted. So after that, what happened is, because it was deducted, I think the contractor, I don't know how they sort it out. Anyway, it was sorted out. I also don't want to know how they sorted out. Yeah. So in a job environment, there's a lot of this very fierce thing going on. Then if you don't have the dhamma, if you don't have the understanding, if you are not good in your work, your scope. That's why I say I reached the pinnacle of my career. Well, I was very good in my career. I really understood my career. I love my career so much. And I can be very proud that I really reached the pinnacle of my career. I did so much thing for humanity. Because as a civil engineer, there are so much thing that I can do. I was in charge of development, maintenance, consultants, and many things. Then when I do things, I even told my boss, I said, I cannot shortcut, cannot shortchange people. We have to check many things. Because this involves life. This involves society, humanity, environment, everything. So we have to consider, that's why I provide the drainage, the subsoil, I look into all this. Yeah, these are important. Otherwise, it brings about so much problem to humanity when the project finishes and all those things. Then all this problem got its karmic consequence. You cannot shortchange people just because you want to make money. Yeah. I say you need to spend. But I can help you to optimize the design, save on other places that can be saved. Not through cheating, not through trying to like cut corner here and there. Okay, we better come back to the Dhamma. Where was I just now? Did I finish the religious routine? Haven't finished. Like I said, the morning, the night, and as you go out, you pay respect to Triple Gem. Then you come back, you pay respect again, so that you compose your spiritual faculty. You stabilize it every time you do. Then you maintain daily mindfulness throughout the day, starting from your house routine. Then as you move to your car, as you drive, then as you reach your office, I still remember, every morning I meditate, I will come early. Then 8:30, the office start, I will on the light, my steno, grapher and my what they call secretary. I got two stenographer, one secretary. They will know my routine. Then they will get ready everything for me, my file, everything. Urgent one they put under the urgent tray. Then I will look at it, then I will sort it out. First half an hour, I will see my people, sort out all the problem, assign the duty, then after that, I'm free. Then I will decide where I go. If I don't have meeting, I will be more free, then I will go. But my meeting is fully packed, actually. But I still got condition to go retreat one hour, and I still get my leave approved, and all the same way, I don't have problem. So when I clean up that whole place, they were very surprised. Then after that, they realized the whole lot of the university, so much thing were done for them. No, I resurfaced the road, changed the drain, all these things, no around. Even the one time flood, the bridge embankment, the whole thing eroded, no, one big hole on the road, 24 feet wide by 15 feet deep. They say, date already, this road will be closed for at least 6 to 9 months. I got it back within 10 days. they also very surprised. Then when they wait for me to come back to them with the report, they expect the worst case scenario already. That hire a consultant and get them to call, tender, design, everything. Take about 9 months or 1 year to complete. Then I went there and said, no need. These are small things I can handle. I know what is happening. Then he said, how long? I said, you allow me to call an urgent tender. I will close it within 1 day. I want it the next day. Then I need 1 week to do the work. But we have to pay because mobilization, everything has to be immediate, very fast. No time to waste. So we pay for machinery, everything. Then we will order all the things. Oh, they were so happy. They somehow asked how much. I think the cost come out less than 30,000. And I repair back the whole embankment, the bridge, the road and everything. So that's why they were very, very happy. So these are the things that is possible, when you understand. Then there was many other things. Small problem, but they cannot resolve until they ask the engineering faculty to come out with a solution. Then somebody proposed, it seems it's going to cost them $200,000 to repair that thing. I think Suyan may not know. Next to engineering faculty, DK1K or DK2K, we come down. There's a slope there, the PJ entrance. That road there last time, because of the slope out there, this water ooze out from the road, the laterite. Attracting water and make the road very unsightly. So during convocation time, all the dignitaries come, they always got this problem. So the Vice Chancellor of Guazis that time was very angry. He wanted this resolved. The estate office, nobody can do it. So they asked the engineering faculty. Then the engineering faculty, I don't know who, they proposed something. Well, we all left already. That time I haven't joined MU. Then they proposed 200,000 to solve the problem. Then when I came, they saw me clear up so many things. They said, "You come, I take you there." The vice chancellor, deputy vice chancellor, took me there. He said, "This problem has been bugging us for very long. What do you think?" I look at it. I say, 2 days lah, I sort it out for you. How much? Not more than 300 ringgit. He looked at me. He was stunned. Then I called the subcon, come, that very hardworking Chinaman. He very efficient. I said, "Pong what joy." Yeah, I know they did the road wrongly. Because road highway, I'm a highway engineer, I know. There's a sand layer that allows drainage to drain to the drain. This fellow sand layer is only within the carriageway. Didn't go beyond the pavement. That's why the water gets stuck there. Because of the slope, the water come. We have that higher pressure cause this during rainy day only happen. Dry season it will dry by itself. So because of that, I say put a subsoil drain. Then I just did that. He quoted me $150, and it was done. After that, the vice chancellor and the deputy vice chancellor, he was laughing like anything. I said, "What? type of engineering faculty, you say. The student can do it at 150. He said, they asked me to pay $200,000. Luckily, we were not that stupid. A lot of this sort of thing. Then there were many other things. I think not enough time to discuss all this. Okay, I summarize for you. What you need is, you need to have understanding. Then you can sort all this. Actually, in this world, a lot of problems are very simple ones. No need to be very complicated ones. If you know how to handle it and deal with it, it's very simple. Like you ask Brother C also, he knows. You simply hire a lawyer. I tell you, you can pay through your nose and not get your work done. They ain't got time for you. You're a small fly. And you want to hire them and pay for that fee. But you hire a good lawyer like them, a small one, very efficient one. You pay very little, yet they sort it out for you. But they are committed. I mean, just an example. Not to say I'm trying to promote his legal firm. But you go to those who have the understanding. They can actually resolve it for you very easily. And sometimes their advice is very good. You just resolve it among yourself. Don't have to go for litigation and all this thing. This is just misunderstanding. You need to apologize, and sort it out. And many things can be resolved through understanding. Then daily mindfulness is very important. Because through daily mindfulness, you are aware. You can see many things. You have clarity of mind. And I can be so efficient and do all this because I have clarity of mind. And I don't have problem. I don't panic on whatever it is, that is the reality. I will look at it. Then I will understand it. Then I ask myself, okay, what is the best way to resolve it amicably so nobody get hurt? Even that case, I didn't go and say anything. I think this is the first time sharing you that story, the subsoil drainage. At that time, I didn't say anything. Only the deputy vice chancellor was laughing and told me all that. I didn't even know about it. But they told me that was what they were told, that they need $200,000 to do it. Then many other things I don't want to talk about. Then when you understand, like meditation, it's actually very simple. And you can resolve it very simply. Like mindfulness, heedfulness. The moment you understand, you will be able to do it. You will be able to get a feel of it. Then when you just cultivate, don't try to know, it will come. When the mindfulness comes, the form of mind will know. Sati is when you are in sati. The form of mind will know. You don't try to be mindful. You don't try to know what the thing is when you are not in that state, like swimming. If you don't know how to swim and don't know how to float, you can talk about it, no point. But the moment you know how to float, then you realize swimming is so easy, and then you understand what people say. Don't do anything completely, free your body, don't struggle, trust, then it will float. And then when it floats, your body is already in buoyancy. So to swim is just to move your hand and leg. So difficult. Understand? But because you don't understand, you don't believe what people tell you, you struggle, that's why you drown. That's why you drink water. You panic, you dare not enter the pond. But when you start to see people swim, you got confident, then you try. Then one day when you get it, especially when you allow yourself to sink, when it reach the buoyancy rate, the upthrust equal, then it start to push you up. And that experience is very important. The moment you experience that, you realize what flotation is. Why your body is lighter than water. It's no more a theory, It's experience in the pool, that reality. Then you become very confident. Then every time you jump in, you just silent, relax. You will float. And then you just do your freestyle or breaststroke or whatever. So meditation is the same. The original state of mind, before the stirring, before the thinking, before the sankhara, is already peaceful, silent, meditative. So why do you want to try to be mindful? Struggle here, struggle there, holding on to this, holding on, like holding on to a float to stay afloat, understand? Then without float, you panic. And that is what's happening. We're swimming, it's like that. Then meditation is like that. Wow, without the object of meditation, you say, like, I cannot meditate. I'm not meditating. That's not. The whole life looking for what? Rising, falling, the breath, the method, the technique. Need the chanting. Want to do something. Without that, cannot meditate. This is what is happening. Like, without the flow, you got no confidence. You cannot meditate. But you haven't realized that the original state of mind is already the meditative state without thought. It's like the body. The original state of that body is buoyancy, lighter than water. It's only you don't trust it. You dare not completely free the mind or free the body and to allow it to sink, to reach the buoyancy, the uptrust, push it out. You experience that, you already home. You got no more problem with swimming. So mindfulness is the same. Do until the mindfulness is there, you realize it. Oh, that is what sati is, no word on. And then no need to learn already. No need to ask people already. Because you saw that sati, body and mind as one, without thought. It's all aware. Just aware like that. There is nobody inside there. Just the nature and the activity as one. That's why I can tell you, specific phenomenal awareness, spacious awareness without a center. And this is what sati is all about. Awareness is all about. Not the word. The actual doing, the actual thing. So daily religious routine include all the activity that is in between. Like I say, as you go about living your life, after you wake up, even when you answer nature's call, as you walk down to your kitchen to do whatever, as you have your breakfast, as you are about to leave your house, pay respect, triple gem. Then after that, calm yourself down, maintain awareness, how you come out, how you bow, how you do all those things, aware. Then as your hand move, if you are driving, you go for your car key, aware, how you take it out. Then how you move around in your house, every action, every movement. Then if you have an office bag, how you hold the office bag, mindful. Then how you walk out, how your hand go and open the door, how it close the door, how it close the gate, you're fully aware. When you're fully aware, you don't think so much. Your thinking become automatically much less. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, less and less, less and less. Because more right view, less delusion. More mindful, more heedful, less heedless. That's why you become different. Then your mind state from heedless living become heedful living. Then you are throughout the day, most of the time aware without thought. That's what meditation is all about. You cannot develop until that stage. You are still not meditating the way the Buddha actually taught. That's why the four foundation of mindfulness is not what you think. Sati sampajana is not what you think. That is the real meditation actually. From there, everything comes, Vedana, Citta, and Dhamma all come. Without Kaya, the rest cannot develop. Your Kaya is to anchor the mind to the present moment. Then when it is in the present moment, it doesn't think, it's most of the time aware, aware, aware. Then through the awareness, it will understand by itself. And when it stabilizes, it will see the mind. You will see the mundane mind, you will see the mental in there, you will see many things that you never see before. That's why I used to tell you, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? What are truth? The characteristics of nature, the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self and empty nature. They are in the midst of life and nature, every moment, every instant, in every phenomena. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Because they are always silent and aware. And when you are silent and aware, all these characteristics are there. So clear. But most of the time, living beings are heedless, think a lot, decide they cannot see. They are never with the moment. So a lot of things that the book never write, because the author also don't understand how you expect them to write. is actually not written. Because the true cultivation, very, very seldom you get to hear about it. You get to develop the understanding of it. So hopefully, with this, maybe you can understand better why a daily religious routine leading to heedfulness throughout the day is very important. And we should thank Brother Pang for that sharing and the question. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is very beneficial, and this one will help you a lot. But now we don't have to rush. One thing at a time. Give more time to explain so that you understand the cultivation. But the Dhamma is already enough. I used to tell the Sunday class, you have enough Dhamma already. Don't come and ask me to share more Dhamma, more Sutta and other things. What we are doing is already good enough. We are the Platform Sutta and the Diamond Sutta are the pinnacle of all the important Mahayana Sutta. We finished Heart Sutta earlier on, the Surangama Sutta. So now these two are our final pillar. And we have been doing well on all this. And this, the recording are all very good, I tell you. You have time, you do listen to it. And as you listen to it, you will understand it very differently, like what Pang went through. But after that, you come back and do the chanting book, you realize these are all prepared based on those understanding. That's why you don't look at it like a normal chanting book. No? It's a very different chanting book, no? You understand? The way we format it, even the aspiration and all those things, is very different than the retreat version also. That's why when you have the understanding, you do it, it becomes very different. And a lot of the English words, I change it because they are not that accurate at that time. So, hopefully, with all this, it can give you faith. It can strive you on with the spiritual zeal to be determined to walk this way, to perfect your sati, your samadhi, then to have the ability to insight the phenomena. Just do, don't try to know. Have faith. Be sincere. Then strive on with heedfulness. Be diligent. The way will unfold. Dhamma will unfold. And you will become beautiful. Worst case scenario is you will become different this life. You will have good parami. If you continue to develop this understanding, then attend all these classes, I tell you, even one session, you do it with faith, understanding, and mindfulness, and heedfulness. One of these class sessions enough, Thursday class, or Tuesday class, or Sunday class, your parami, your merits, your wholesomeness, and your blessing, I tell you, you will never, never understand. It is beyond the wildest dream of many people who cannot understand. But those who understand, they will know, because it's so different. That's why you will realize one thing. Your life has changed. You have become more peaceful, more calm, more clarity, more confident. Then things go your way. Your life are more conducive now. You got less problem. Oh, sorry. Sui An gave me a question. No? I don't know, I have enough time to share. You know, 5 minutes. You know. The question is, Buddhist explanation of insomnia. You know what is insomnia? Cannot sleep. I read to you the actual question. But, luckily, I remember. I almost forgot. Just now before we start, I still sharing with people. Okay, tonight discussion from a Buddhist perspective. What causes insomnia and how to have a good night's sleep? Okay, anybody want to try? What causes insomnia? Cannot sleep. Thinking, got problem, attachment, craving. Something disturbing you. That's why be kuna. Be jia be kuna. Sometimes girlfriend problem, boyfriend problem, also like that. There are many other problems. It's the fear of something. Otherwise, you will sleep very well. Oh, who's nice music? Oh, my wife one. So the cause you already know is your attachment and how you overcome it. That's why you must reflect and contemplate on that problem. You have to identify it, investigate into it. Don't just call people out and say, what must I do? How? I just cannot sleep. If like that, you will never learn, I tell you. Because you are not serious about life. There is already a cause behind everything, like the Buddha said. And the cause is always your craving, your attachment, your clinging, your grasping. Born of your self-delusion, your fear. Fear of losing something. So in that particular case, that Kayamita was because, according to what I heard, and what was told to me, he said the brother want to take back the house. Because it seems that house, I also don't know the detail, he told me like a little bit here and there. It seemed earlier on when the mother was around, the mother actually spent some money, I think they spent some money doing the renovation. Then now the brother say, all this money he wants back. Then she claimed that she was being harassed and all those things, I don't know. But then I asked her one question, the house belonged to who? He said, belonged to her, her name. So I said, why are you scared? You ask the lawyer here. The house belonged to you, your name? You scared people harass you and ask you to pay. The law is not like that, understand? That's why I say you must have clarity of mind. Why do you fear? You only have to attend to it, resolve it. This is one of the life reality. Reality of life and existence. There are people who are like that because your past, in the past you behave like your brother or like those gangsters and thug, understand? No? Then you cause so much fear and suffering to people. Like the Along, she used the word Along, harassing her and everything. So what you expect? It has to do with your past. So when you have haunted people, harassed people that way in your past life, you have to ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness. Then you determine not to do this anymore. Then determine to have clarity of mind. Don't fear, don't worry to resolve all this. Some of your own brother are easy to talk to. Otherwise, get somebody who is close, the more elder one, to come and resolve all this. It's not difficult. Worst come to the worst, if it's real harassment, lock your house. Don't give the key, understand? Then, if they try to be funny, worst case scenario, you cannot resolve it amicably, then only you take the last resort. Report to police. Or see Michael Chong, understand? He will help you resolve all this. But don't panic, don't be fearful. Then it becomes so complicated until finally I don't know what happened. He went and see doctor. And the doctor talked to you also, you know, you are not sick, you've got mental problem. So to her, she thought mental problem means something wrong. I said, not something wrong. You've got psychological problem means you don't know how to understand your thought. This is the Dhamma, suffering, understand? It's psychological, means from your thinking, your wrong view. You don't know how to calm yourself down, maintain clarity of mind to accept this reality. This is nothing out of the extraordinary. To me, this is a very simple problem. Like last Tuesday, if you don't perceive it, negativity, it's not a problem. This is not life and death, is it? Correct or not? This is not even losing your job, is it? Just somebody trying to claim your property. You can even ask any lawyer. Nobody can take it from you because you are the legal owner. But I did caution her. I said, if you have really owe people money or what, then resolve it. Need to resolve it amicably. Don't lie anymore. So a lot of these things, through understanding, you can resolve it. So insomnia can come in many ways. I was told a lot of people going through divorce, they have insomnia, they cannot sleep. Those who have financial problem, health problem, they also cannot sleep because of the worry, the anxiety, the stress, the fear. So all this is number, nothing out of the ordinary. Do not perceive it as negativity, perceive it as wholesomeness. If I don't have this situation, this problem, I cannot learn. We are the first number two reality, the Buddha said. This number two or dukkha is to be understood. How can I understand it? When I confronted it, when I'm in the midst of it, then only I can answer. This is what people say suffering, fear, worry, anxiety, conditioning you into sleepless state, having insomnia. Then you go and see the doctor, you know what the doctor say? To tell you politely, I think I recommend you to see this psychiatrist. That's why she somehow told me, he said, Brother Suyan say you take already, you become dependent on the drug and all those things. Say, ask me why, should I go, Brother Teo? I say, hey, you continue like that, nobody can help you. And then say, Brother Suyan recommend another one, not so bad one. Should I go to this one? And then I don't go that one. You are like meditation, no? But what must I do? You don't want to find out, you don't want to investigate, you don't want to develop the understanding. Everything also one spoon feed on. You will have suffering, I tell you. Because you don't want to find out, you don't want to investigate, you don't want to develop the understanding of life. This is so important to you, understand, to each and every one of us. If you don't want to understand suffering, you can never free yourself from suffering. That's why this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. How to develop the understanding. Contemplate, inquire, investigate, reflect on it. So when you go deep into it, then you realize, hey, no wonder this is suffering because you experience it, understand or not? Then you say, no wonder the Buddha said this to be understood. If I don't understand, it will continue to haunt me and make me like that. And yet I still deluded. I still think I got a problem. Because you say insomnia, you think it's a new problem. It's actually related. It's not a new problem. This is due to your attachment, clinging, grasping, your fear of confronting that reality and resolving it. As long as you hold on to that fear and refuse to make a decision to resolve it, it will continue to haunt you. Understand? You can go and complain. You can go and harass everybody, call this kayamita, that kayamita. Nobody can help you. You choose to behave that way, your attitude. You have come for Dhamma class. You should understand that all this can be understood. What you need is faith, spiritual faculty, clarity of mind. Then you need to discuss with people who understand and discuss it. But don't go and continue to deceive yourself by continuously like depending on people. Then you ask without direction, without understanding. Then it's like you think, Brother Suyan, nothing to do. You got so much thing to attend to. You know? Now Mi Feng not around, whole household, so you got to cultivate yourself. You know? And you go and every now and then call and that. Not easy, but his time is precious to help our SGBA. A lot of things and a lot of kayamita go through him. And our activity, he organizes it very well. And we should have gratitude towards him. And most of you all know he is so helpful. So when he reaches a stage where he also don't have the patience to talk to you, means you must understand really that you are not really, really seeking his help. You are giving him problem, right? So have this understanding not to harass people anymore. Develop your own understanding. You can come out of it, I tell you. Beautiful, no problem. Okay, we better end. Sorry, I took out extra 10 minutes. Okay, sadhu. So maybe next Thursday you have time, we will talk more about this. Okay. We will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas.
Akasata ca bumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa Chirang rakantu lokasasana Itta wata ca amehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati siddhiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Imina punya kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadu Sadu Sadu
Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the witty ones. Yeah, you ask me to book 11 or